Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're doing part 98 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 200. If you'd like a copy of it, at the end of the program, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of a CD or a audio tape. All of the things that you receive from our ministry are free of charge, including Bibles, literature, tapes, Messiah books in many different languages, and also the Bibles we give in different languages as well. We pay postage and handling as well, so you don't have to worry about it. So the Lord wants you to know that the Word of God is available free of charge to you. So if you have any interest in your soul and you don't have money, you could just email us and we'll be glad to send these things to you. Well, so God wants everybody in the world to have a chance to receive eternal life. Now, I see many ministries, they charge you $30, $60, $100, and so on to receive what they've gotten from the Lord or things that they've made up that were of the Lord. Some of the messages are fine. I've heard them. And some are not. That makes a good counterfeit. A counterfeit will express a few things, or counterfeits will live in the house of God to cause trouble there. That's what counterfeits are. Phonies. Devils. But we don't charge anything because the Lord never charged me to be saved. He never charged me anything to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And He never charged me anything to learn the Word of God and to communicate with Him. It's free of charge. And it says, come to me with no money. You don't have to pay any money. All right? And so, why should I charge you anything? Not even the postage. It's on the house. It's on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. Father, I thank You for putting it on my heart to send ambassadors to Africa, India, the Philippines, and China. And wherever in the world that I see the need, even Pakistan. And Lord, we want to know if these people are really as sick and really starving as much as they say they are. I know that the different ministries that I don't necessarily agree with at all, but I do agree with that they are doing a good job so far as feeding the people in Africa, India, Pakistan, and other places. And in Russia, transporting the Jews out of there because they're being persecuted so much. And so, Lord, I really praise and thank You that You have given us the wherewithal to help some. If You give me trillions, billions or trillions of dollars, Lord, I'll search the entire earth. I promise, it's a vow. I will search the earth to see people that are in need. But I won't just give them the food and water and things like that. I'll give them the Word of God, the food, spiritual food, and the spiritual water that they need for immortal life, eternal life. Lord, I pray that You'll even show me places that are in need. And furnish and pray all the things. It just vexes my soul when I see things and I'm not sure that the people who I'm sending the money to are going to really give it to them. But You told me that You would kill them, tear them to pieces, and send their souls to hell in the lake of fire if they didn't use the money as they say they would to feed these kids and these adults. And that they would give them medicine to bring them back to health. And then it just makes me sad that they don't emphasize being praying also for them and getting the Word of God to them as well. The proper Word of God, not the Word of God that says that they can sin and still get into heaven. This I know is so false and causes their souls to go to hell. That's why I don't like, Father, to send money to those ministries. That's why I want to go over there. And I want to be the one to bring the message to them to where they will know that if they sin willfully, knowingly, that their souls will go to hell. and that they need to repent, which means to forsake, utterly forsake the sins that they are committing, and live with your Spirit in them, making it impossible for them to sin, and causing the fear of you to be in them, as the midwives in Egypt, causing the fear of them, of you to be in them, as it was Noah, who trembled at the knowledge that you were going to destroy all the sinners on the face of this earth, and that the fear of them would be in, of you would be in all those on earth that feared you and kept the commandments, so that they would not go to hell in the lake of fire. And I pray, Lord, that you'll put enough fear in them, that and belief in you, that they will be able to repent and not be partakers in the torments of the lake of fire, because they're not going to be happy with it when they're there. Lord, I pray that the church will be strengthened from that which you do through me on this broadcast, and that souls by the multitude will be saved from this broadcast. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so some people are so evil that they don't even say amen to a prayer like that. There was a lot of people in this room, and I just heard maybe four or five of them. So there's wicked. Don't let anybody fool you that there are definitely lots of wicked people in churches. They're in my church. One of them, one devil out of one devil was in the 12 that the Lord had. So one out of 12. And we've got millions of people now that are listening to my broadcast and are receiving the literature and are watching the internet. We just jumped up a couple of thousand more today on the internet from last week. It's way up into the tens of thousands. So we're getting a lot of responses. People are listening to the message. Well, anyway, now where do you have letters from here, Lydia?
There's one from Covington, Georgia.
Okay, what do they say?
Thank you for your radio ministry, which I am listening to Monday through Friday while I'm working. It has been a real blessing. It's been 12 months since we started our ministry in Conyers, Georgia, without any resources. As an immigrant, we still have not any resources for our ministry, but we thank God because He has given us opportunity to preach the gospel. Please pray for us. Thank you, Pierre from Covington, Georgia.
Well, that's right. And if you are desirous of being able to evangelize for no money at all, you can send for the literature and we'll send you as much as you need, and you can distribute it throughout town, and you'll have a revival going there, because we see it happening everywhere else in the world. And some of those people will help support the ministry, and some of them may even own buildings that they'll let you preach from and teach from, and they'll be able to provide food and lodging and all those sort of things for you. That's the way the Lord ministers. As you continue in Him, He just keeps pouring up blessings and opens up more and more doors all the time. That's why after almost 42 years now, in September it'll be 42 years when the Lord first visited me, that we have progressively gotten to where I am right now, and where the people that are in the church that are of the Lord are right now. And naturally, any church that is really of the Lord is going to be more severely attacked by Satan than any other church on the face of this earth. There are many devils in the church and outside the church. Doesn't mean that the church is wrong. If that was true, then the Lord would have been wrong. He had a devil. And we've got a few here also. And I'm sure the people that are branches of the Lord's body everywhere in the world, that they have devils too. Why would the devil want to attack a devil's church? Jesus said that Satan will not cast out Satan. Why would Satan cast himself out? What he wants to do is get around a real, strong, powerful gospel church and wants to contaminate it and infiltrate it so that they can just show their evil attitudes to people that are young in the church and foolish, and they start taking on the same spirit of these devils. And that's why in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, the Lord tells John to take a reed and measure the people in the church, to measure the church. And each one of us are part of the church, because the kingdom of heaven is within us if we're really born again of the Spirit. And if we're born again of the Spirit, we can tell the people that are of the Lord and the ones that are not of the Lord. It's so simple, because you don't see any real spiritual thing happening from them, and you always see disobedience out of them and nonchalance, and you always see defiance. It's just a thing. And they want to, prance around you like they are somebody in the church, and as though they don't think that you have the power to put them out, as the Lord commands in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. He says, measure them up with the rod. Well, the measuring rod is actually the Word of God. And so the Lord says for us not to judge anybody. And what he means is with our own judgment. But he says, take my word, and you'll be able to judge all things and everybody with my word. He said, because my word is the measuring rod, and if people are living in defiance of my word, then he says in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation to put them outside with the dogs and the pigs, with the Gentiles. He calls all unbelievers dogs and pigs. He says, and now he demands that people follow him. He said, my sheep follow me, and in other words, they do what my word says. And he says, my sheep follow me, they know my voice. And any man that does not follow me and listen to me and do what I say, they are not any of mine. And especially if they attack the actual people that I have appointed to be over them. Like when the people attacked Moses. Even Moses was being attacked by his sister Miriam for marrying a black woman, an Ethiopian. And God turned Miriam into leprosy. She turned as white as snow. Now, if a black ever wanted to be white as snow, then, the Miriam was not black. She was Jewish, but she was turned white as snow. Now, if black, white, yellow, red, any kind of color comes against the people of the Lord, the ones that the Lord has set over them, then they're worse than a dog, because these people are providing spiritual food and drink for them, and even the dog won't bite or act haughty around somebody that's feeding it. So you're like a dog or a swine if you're attacking the body of Christ, or the person, especially the person that's in charge. Now, it means that Moses had three wives, and here one of them was an Ethiopian. And she just thought, no, this woman has to be Jewish. She has to be a Hebrew. And Moses was the meekest man on earth, which means that he listened more to God than anybody else on the face of this earth. Didn't mean that he was a simpering, whimpering, nothing. It just means that he did everything God said. Like I do, and like Buster does. Buster, if I tell him to do anything, he didn't want to go to Africa or anything, but when I asked him if he wanted to go to Africa, because I have to have somebody go there to find out if these people are legitimate there, because there's a lot of Africans that have asked for money and have lied to us. Same with the people in India. And I just want to make sure that the money of the Lord is going to the right place. And the Lord says for us to be very vigilant in our the way that we search things out. Search every, don't believe every spirit, the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
But to test the spirits to see if they be true. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm going to test the spirits. I've already tested the spirits of people around me, and I know exactly where they're at. And none of them can claim that they're naive or that they're just stupid, because no matter how many times you tell them, they just still continue disobeying. And they even have got such unmitigated gall that some of them even argue with you when they know full well and they can see full well that the decisions or that I make every day are absolutely right on. And they know that I'm hearing from the Lord because they see me praying for people and they get healed immediately. And they themselves get healed immediately. And they see the Lord pouring in finances, and they see me making messages from the Lord and all these different things. And that I never turn anybody away from food or water or if they're in distress. Many people come, you know, I don't want to say everything, but they come in this general area, not just Africa, here in the United States. They can't pay their light bill. And they've got little babies in there, and they come and ask if they could, if we could turn their lights on. I immediately do it. People are stranded. They don't have enough money for gas to get home. And I send one of our people. We don't give them the money, but we get the light bill, the gas bill, whatever, the water bill. And we go down to the light company, the water company, the gas company, and pay the bill ourselves immediately. We don't wait for a few minutes because there's little children in the house. We go immediately and do that. People need medication, and they say it costs, you know, $200-$300. And what's the matter with you? And then we check it out. You give us the prescription, and we'll go down and pick up the medicine for you. Have you people ever seen me not refuse anybody this way?
No.
Never. Okay? Now, if you come over here and say you want $200 to buy Aunt Matilda a pearl necklace or something, I'm going to tell you, no, you go earn the money to get Aunt Matilda a pearl necklace herself. She doesn't need that. But for needs, for people that really need stuff. Or if you want money to send somebody to some demon-possessed university, I will not give that to you. Okay, there's certain things that I will do and that I won't do, because if it's of the Lord, I'd give it to you. Now, anybody that would come against a church like this is definitely, they're definitely led by Satan. Or that would argue with anybody that leads such a church as that and is led of the Lord like that. And you may say, well, I've got something against you. Well, whatever you've got against me, the Lord has millions of times more against you than you do against him. Because anybody that thinks they're greater than God or the people that God selects to lead you, you are so demon-possessed that it's unbelievable. And I want you to know that. Now, where's the next letter from?
From Nigeria. Greetings to you, Pastor Lamo, in the name of Jesus who never changes. I am very happy to have the privilege to communicate with you. I have confidence in my heart that you are the man to teach the right path. You see, since I came to Christ, my family and in-laws have turned me away. There has been no one to help me. The devil had been tempting me to commit suicide. He would say, it is the best thing for you. You should not even be existing since nobody cares for you. Just go hang yourself. But God, as I was planning to do just that, I received your pamphlet books from a friend. God revived me through these truths. Please send me 2 holy Bibles for me and my wife, and other 6 Bibles for Christian friends. Thank you for everything, and may God bless you mightily. Your son in the Lord, Kahinde, from Benin City, Nigeria.
Yeah, many people, suicide is an epidemic today, especially with young people, because they can't see that this world has any future. There are 200 countries now that have the atomic bomb. And the Vatican is causing all these 200 countries and even more to be antagonistic towards America. And many of these 200 countries, people of them, terrorists are so set against us that they say that they have briefcases. They have atomic bombs that can be carried in a briefcase. And this next year, I prophesy that there's going to be more of these terrorist attacks, and far more than the just the World Trade Center. And they're going to happen in places where most people would least expect them to happen. Now, I know that I've just recently been doing some mastering at the Capitol Tower, Capitol Records, on Vine Street in Hollywood. And they have such security there that you can't believe it, because they realize that they are a landmark. And they're afraid that somebody's going to blow the place up. And they're so fearful that they have guards at the front door and the back door all over the place out in the parking lot. And the same thing at the Statue of Liberty and the Empire State Building. But, I mean, they're on the ground. What can they do if somebody fires a rocket or somebody just, a suicide person just walking by with a briefcase, and it's time for, they put the timer on for 10 seconds and they just throw the briefcase in the door. An atomic bomb will blow not only the Empire State Building up, but for miles around it'll blow everything up. And people are still defiant to God. The Bible says that we're living in perilous times because people will be lovers of their own selves. They don't love the Word of God. Lovers of their own selves more than they are lovers of God, the Word. And I can see it as so plain because I study the Word of God, and I see, and I'm in the Spirit, and I see where everybody else is. I can see you. You can't fool me. And if I were you, I would immediately. Now, suicide is like an epidemic. Teenagers are wiping themselves out because they know, they hear the news, they know that there's all these countries with A-bombs, and they know that the people of the world hate the United States because we're over there bombing their countries. And they know that they don't have the economic wealth that we have, and so they have to revert to terrorism. And they want to make a point so that the people here in the United States will back off and leave them alone. Because why do we, the people of the United States, have any business antagonizing people in other countries? Why do we think, and who do we think we are, that we can go over there and bomb innocent men, women, and little children? And many children are left without their mothers and dads because they're killed over there by us. Not we who are of the gospel, the true gospel, but by bastards that say that they're American citizens and that they're Christians. And they're not Christians and they are not American citizens. Because we here in the Constitution, which the Rome hates, we believe in the freedom of religion. We don't believe in hanging people or burning them at the stake because they don't believe as we do. But the Vatican does. They've done it for centuries. And now they're saying that if anyone even thinks that somebody is doing some any kind of a crime, don't go to court. Let's blow them up like we did at Waco. No trial. The man that was president then, President Clinton at that time, stated that that should teach people to belong to cults. Well, a cult is the person that doesn't believe in the Bible. The Vatican doesn't believe in the Bible. They tell you not to read it, that it's dangerous for you. But that's what the Bible says a cult is. But if anyone can tell me what I am doing that is contrary to the Bible, but they don't. There's not one thing that you can say that I'm doing that is contrary to the Word of God. And so I'm not a cult. I'm directly from the Word of God. And the Bible says that if you can say anything that you want about the Son of Man, because the Son of Man was a man, that's all. That's all he was a man. with the exception of one thing. He had the Holy Spirit in him. And nobody else did. Now, you can say anything about me, Jesus said, but if you say anything about the Holy Spirit that's in me, that I'm a cult, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because you're saying the things I'm preaching and teaching and the things I'm doing, I'm casting devils out by the Holy Spirit. And you're saying that's a cult? That I'm a devil? Or if I'm laying hands on somebody and they're being healed, you say that's the devil? No, you can say anything about me that you want. As long as you don't say that I am preaching and teaching the wrong thing, or that when I'm praying that it's the devil casting this sickness, disease, or infirmity out of people, or if I'm casting devils out of somebody, that it's the finger of the devil, not the Lord. No, it's the Lord. They didn't say anything about me. You don't like the way I comb my hair. You don't like the way I talk or present the gospel. But I'm presenting it the way that the Lord, through His Spirit, is telling me to present it, because you people are dead in your sins and trespasses, and there's something that the Lord has to do to cause you to start believing the Word of God. And He's been sent many smooth talkers to you, and Satan has sent even smoother talkers to you. But now you've got somebody here that's telling it the way the Lord tells it. The exact way the Lord tells it. And if you don't like the Spirit that's in me, then you don't like the Lord. And if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit that's in me, and the Holy Spirit that was in the Lord, and any of you think that that isn't so, the Lord says that that's what it is. He said, if the same Spirit, through Paul, abides in you that was in the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here on earth, that means that we could be equal with Son of God, Son of God. If that Spirit is in you when you die, when the Lord on resurrection morning, on the day of the final judgment, comes that I will be resurrected from the dead, just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And if I'm one of the two witnesses, which we were told, then that'll happen even before the end. Because I'm sure that I'm going to be killed for the gospel's sake. I'm sure of it. And the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned, because all I'm doing every day is just working to get into the kingdom of God. And if Satan wants to shorten that time, or for that matter, if the Lord would like to shorten that time, be my guest, because I'm ready to go right now. And you have done me a favor, a service, because I would love to be there now, this very minute. But you people that are saying that we're a cult, I believe with all my heart and soul that you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit and that you're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. And that there's not going to ever be any forgiveness for you. And so no matter if you're having parties, we see that on one of the websites they say they're having a party, all these backsliders. And they had hot dogs, and they had the kids played games and all this kind of stuff. And we were gathered together talking evil about the Lord's work over here. They left because they hated the Word of God. They didn't want to be around the Word of God. They didn't believe the Word of God as it is. They don't believe that you should chasten children. And they don't believe the Old and New Testament. And so they've made up their own rules, and they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit by saying that this church and the leader that God has chosen to be of it, to lead this church, is a cult of all things. of the devil of all things. Well, you know, you think that you can just use words idly, but as I was saying yesterday in the message where Jacob blessed, Isaac blessed Jacob, and there wasn't anything that he could do to take it back. Once something goes out of your mouth, it's over with. Some people say, well, that was a long time ago when I said that. According to the Word of God, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it sticks throughout eternity. And there's no forgiveness here or in the world to come. If you want to argue with the person that is the leader of the Lord and knows that he's doing everything correct, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit yourself. Because what you're doing is calling that man a liar. When in fact, you're the liar. There's a woman in here. There were so many reports on her son that it was just unbelievable. The man, the school teacher said he was the worst child. He said he taught 150 children a day. And he said in all the years that he's been doing that, he has never met anyone worse than that kid. That kid is the worst kid going. And she wouldn't receive it. She believed what the lying little kid told her, that it was somebody else that gave that report. And I said, no, it was him. So she made me prove it. So she, in essence, calling me a liar. So I called the man on the phone. And I said, was it you that reported this boy for being the worst person? And in essence, after a long conversation, he kept saying, yes. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Okay, so she, in essence, didn't believe me. And so I proved it to her. That this is what the man said. I wasn't making anything. I don't want to go to hell. I'm not going to hell because for any reason, let alone to, why would I want to go to hell for an unruly boy or some wicked person that doesn't believe me when the Lord commanded you to believe me? Think I'd want to go to hell for somebody like that? No, I wouldn't. But you would. At any rate, where's the next letter from?
The Philippines.
Philippines, okay. What are they saying?
Hello, I'm a Christian and student who is now stepping a higher move in disciple-making to Christians and also evangelism to non-Christians. I would like to order all materials and copies from your church for the student ministry here in the city. These will be of great use in our team to work out God's plans for this place. May I request your Bible audio messages and CDs? Thank you a lot. May God richly bless your church and the people who are part of your plans in magnifying God in the highest. I hope I can have all of the materials and books. This is for people here, helping them to become Christians. In Christ always and forever, Prince Cassidy from Cagayan de Oro City, Philippines.
All right. And there you have another letter there?
Yes, from Ireland.
Right. Well, it's good. This man is more than likely a novice, and it's good that he's taken the literature and the teachings on tapes from a person that's not a novice, because if you're a novice and you attempt to go out and preach, or teach, especially teach, you can preach but not teach. If the Lord's, through Paul, stated that he suffers not a novice to teach, because they'll fall into the same condemnation as the devil. That's from the Lord. In other words, the condemnation of the devil is that he's going to the lake of fire, hell and the lake of fire, and that's where you'd go to if you as a novice go out and teach until you have become seasoned, mature in the Lord. Okay, then what?
Dear Tony Alamo, I am...
Where is this from again?
This is from Ireland.
Okay.
Dear Tony Alamo, I am writing again to thank you and your fellow workers in the gospel for sending Bibles to Ireland. I have been able to give a number of Bibles to the people here. Their joy at receiving them is hard to describe. They are very, very happy and thankful. The American people have such ready access to Bibles and churches that I think most would not have any idea what it is like to live in a land where the Holy Scriptures have traditionally been suppressed for centuries.
Right, that's through the Catholic cult. The Catholics don't believe in the Bible, and that's why they're taking them out of the schools, and they're trying to do away with the Bible entirely here in the United States. And in China, it's even worse because, like, one person has a Bible and they share it with maybe 1,000 people. And when they hand it to each other, it's like very gently because they don't want to ruin the pages. Then what?
I am hoping that in your kindness you could continue to send the Holy Bible somewhat on a regular basis. I would think that some of your books, The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy, would also be a great blessing and help.
Okay, send them 5 cases of Bibles and send them 100 Messiah books to start out with. So that'll be about 100 Bibles. Let's see, there's... Was it 10 or 12 Bibles in a case? None of you know because none of you are really that interested.
10,
somebody said. Well, there's one interested party here. All right, so that's 10. So that if you send them 10 cases, that's 100 Bibles. At least it was at the time when I went to school. Okay, then what?
The Roman Catholic Church is on a sharp decline here. However...
Right, well, you know, the Catholic newspaper stated that I cut that church in half, and that was around 23, 22 years ago. And so it's probably less than half now. And most of the Catholics I talk to, they don't believe in their doctrine anymore. And I thank God for it, because it's really satanic. Then what?
However, many of the traditions are still in the minds of the people. Only the Holy Scriptures itself can shine the light of truth that can awaken the conversion.
Amen, brother. And what?
Ireland is a very unique mission field. The gospel evangelists here must have great tact and wisdom and a working knowledge of Catholicism and Protestant traditions and Irish history.
Yes, good thing I'm not in Ireland. I'd have probably been hung already because I don't have much tact. I just preach it the way the Holy Spirit tells me. I've been strung out on the Blarney Stone a long time ago. Okay, what else?
Ireland and its people have been victimized by Rome and savagely ruled by Protestant England.
Well, the Protestant England is the same as the Antichrist Rome. They've the Protestant Church became the Catholic Church split because of the king. King wanted to be able to marry and divorce, and of course Catholicism doesn't believe in that, so he split off from the Catholic cult and kept all the same traditions with the exception of being married over and over again. You can be married over and over again according to the king's new rules. And what was that king's name? Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am. I got married to the widow next door. Second voice, voiced in the voiced. Okay, then what?
The Protestant and barbaric.
And so he was Catholic, and he made the Church of England. All the same rules of the English Church is the same as Catholic. So this man maybe doesn't know that, but he said. And so he makes it look like it's two different cults. No, it's the same one. Okay, what else?
The Protestant and barbaric English rule was very counterproductive to the Holy Gospel and caused the Irish to become staunchly Catholic. Therefore, one must avoid any dogmatic confrontationalism. Such arguments...
Such as I am, I dogmatically preach the Gospel, okay? And the one thing I do is what the gospel says. If the gendarmes come and they say, you know, you're not supposed to put literature on a vehicle or something, I say, okay, I agree with them immediately, and I walk off and go someplace else. Because just like Paul was told not to by... Now, why would the government, if it was of the Lord, throw people in jail for preaching the gospel? And why would the secular government that is putting an end to the Bible, why would people think that they are the rulers of God when they are totally against God's word? They're saying, and all, why are Christians saying we have to obey the secular government when they are exactly against the word of God? Do you think that God put those secular people over his body, his church? Huh?
No.
Why?
Because God's rulers are the ministers of the gospel.
Well, yes, but because the answer that I would give to that is because they're against the Bible. That's why God didn't put them over God's people, because they're against God's people. If you go out and distribute literature, they'll throw God's people into prison. They'll make up lies about them. So listen, you people out there, the secular government is run by Rome. Rome hates the Bible, and here you are hearing it from a former Irish Catholic, okay? And he's in there winning souls now. And pray for him, because there's no doubt that he's getting persecuted, even as eloquent as he is. And even though he backs away a lot because of he's not dogmatically for the Lord. But you have to be dogmatically for the Lord. I mean, this country is against, this government is against the Bible also. But I am dogmatically for the Lord. Okay, and so you're not preaching any gospel unless you preach at all. You're not preaching any of the Word of God unless you're preaching at all. Because if you back off on any point, then people are not going to believe that you're a Christian. Okay, that's the way I believe. If you back off from anything, there's a judge that wanted me to vote for him. He says, now I believe once saved, always saved. And I said, I do not. He says, I know you're going to what you're going to say, but I believe that you are. And I, in other words, you can believe that you're going to be a sinner and still enter into heaven. You better read the Bible, judge. Okay? That's what I told him. Okay, go ahead.
Such arguments inflame hatreds, and the whole point gets lost in emotional conflagration.
Well, I'm not emotional. I'd like to be led by the Spirit. When the Spirit tells me to say something, well, I'm going to say it. And I'm not emotional about it, except that I'm emotional. I just love the Lord's Word, and I want to preach it, and I hate. You know, hate is an emotion, and love is an emotion. And the Lord commands every person that is of the Lord to hate evil, to hate Satan. You can't serve two masters. You must love one and hate the other. You're going to either hate or love the Lord, or you're going to hate or love Satan. So the Lord's fully aware that a lot of people hate him. They hate the Word, and they hate those that preach it. And they hate those that teach it. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you so very much again. I think that no greater purpose can be on earth than bringing the light and truth of God's holy Word to others. May Christ our Lord very richly and bountifully bless you from glory. Your friend in Ireland, Thomas, from Mayo, Ireland.
Praise the Lord. I love it every time we get letters from our distributors in Ireland. All right, now, Sharon, let's come and read from the book of Luke, and it's chapter 14, right?
Right.
All right, go ahead.
And it came to pass, as he went into the house...
Now, this is the 14th chapter of Luke. Go ahead.
And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go.
I tell you what, let's read the last 5 verses of chapter 13.
Okay.
Make it 6 verses.
Okay, verse 30. And behold, there are last which shall be first.
Okay. There's people that are going to be saved in the last days here that will be first. They're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, and the first will be last. They will not make it. Okay, go ahead.
And there are first which shall be last.
Right.
The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them...
Yeah, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, wanted him to get out of there. He called the Herod a name of an animal, didn't he?
Yes.
A fox. Go ahead.
Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today.
Yeah,
and
so you better watch out for me, because I'll cast the devil out of you. And he's saying that in front of the Pharisees, that he'll cast the devil out of them too. Watch out for me, because I have the power to cast the devil out of you weasels. Okay, then what?
Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm healing people today and tomorrow. What do? You tell me to be afraid of Herod. Get out of the lamp, because Herod wants to get you. Get away from us. We don't want to hear your words. Get out of here. Be afraid of Satan. And Jesus says, now I'm going to cast out devils and I'm going to heal people, okay? You tell that fox that. Then what? He could even heal his wicked mind if he wanted him to. Okay, then what else?
And the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children.
Okay, so that just shows that that's an anti-Christ government there. Amen?
Amen.
Anti-God government. Do you think that God put rulers, these are God's rulers? This is the point that the Lord wants to make, because so many people believe that the government is the ruler of a Christian. And the Lord says, you go tell your government, your secular demonic government, that I'm going to walk according to the Holy Spirit, that I am the ruler of the universe. Okay? And everybody today just pays so much attention to the stinking Antichrist cult in Rome, its government, and its media. Now read that last verse again.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets.
They kill the prophets and they throw the prophets in prison. Are they God's rulers?
No.
No. God has appointed people such as myself that are his rulers. And people that don't obey me are not of the Lord. People that argue with me are not of the Lord. Well, are you saying that you're always right? No, I'm saying the Lord is always right. And when I'm coming to you from the Bible, you're not to argue with God's word. All right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood.
Yeah, you killers of the prophets and jail, ones that jail them and kill them. I would have treated you like a little lamb or a little chick. I would have helped you too. But you're killers and you never repented. Keep going.
How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not.
But you would not let me. You would not listen to me. God Almighty, come in the flesh. And here we are. We're the Spirit of God in the flesh, and you still argue with us. You still will not, you refuse to obey us. And so how are you any better than these Pharisees or these antichrists that throw pizza or taking the Bible away? Because you yourself are deliberately not listening to the Bible. It's as though the Bible doesn't exist for you bunch of weasels. Bible doesn't mean anything, according to you. Okay? Jesus doesn't mean anything to you. Him being resurrected doesn't mean anything to you. You're evil, and he would have healed you and saved your souls, but you wouldn't let him. Because you felt that the one-world cult, its government, and the media is right. Just because there's more of them, you think. But the Bible says God is more than everyone on the face of this earth. And if God be just with one person, the entire world could not be against you. Maybe a bunch of flaky people that gather together in churches to try to destroy the churches think that because there's a few of these simple-minded idiots that they are gaining ground every day, and they're getting a conspiracy going against the leader of God, of the people that God has sent here. You think you're making ground. Well, wait till God opens the earth one of these days and swallows you straight into hell. Okay, then what?
Behold, your house is left unto you desolate.
Yeah, your house, in other words, you've claimed that your body is your house rather than the house of God, and it's desolate. God doesn't dwell in you any longer. God is not in you. And when you stand before the Lord, he says, I never knew you. You didn't care anything about my word, and I don't care about you. Now depart, you wicked, into eternal, everlasting torment. Okay, then what?
And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Yes. Okay, then when people will say that. Okay, then what?
Verse 1.
And of what chapter?
Chapter 14.
Okay, go ahead. Of Luke, right?
Yes.
All right, let's get a little specific here so people will know where you're coming from.
And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?
In other words, is it lawful to God to do what he wants to do? You bunch of the Lord says fatherless children, which he calls bastards. Is it all right with you bastards that God does what he wants to do on the Sabbath day? Is that okay with you stinking phonies? Then what?
And they held their peace.
And they wouldn't answer because they thought that that was righteous to keep their mouth shut. And then what?
And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit? And will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day.
So they got ashamed. Then what?
And they could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room.
Right. It's like if you go to a movie premiere and you go into the chief seats and you didn't purchase it, and then the person that really bought the seat comes in and you have to get up in front of everybody and go down to a skid row. And that's a shameful thing because you're taken out of the number one booth and put down at the bottom of the rack. That's more shameful. It's better to go to the lower place, to take a humble position and let God exalt you, rather than for you to try to exalt yourself against one of God's leaders. Because you're going to go down like a bag of bolts. Okay, then what?
But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee.
Right, my time is up, and so the Lord is bidding you to go to the lowest place before God, for you to humble yourself before him, to kneel before the cross and ask the Lord to enter into you. If you'll humble yourself like that, confess all your sins and ask the Lord to come in and wash away all your former sins, he'll do it. And then he tells you, don't believe the doctrine that they're preaching today, that I'm taking care of your former and your present sins and your sins in the future, because that's false. That only the false prophets are preaching that garbage. But he says, I take all your former sins away and give you the power to continue on in the Holy Spirit, because I'll give you power when the Holy Spirit is upon you. So you'll be saved, and then later you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to be fitting for the ministry. And so that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to ask any of you if you want to humble yourself and go to the lowest seat and kneel before the Lord. And if you will, he'll resurrect you spiritually from your dead spirit. He'll quicken or make alive the spirit that's in you right now, which is actually dead now. And he'll bring you up out of your spiritual deadness and bring you alive, and then you'll be in the body of Christ. You'll be a new member in the kingdom of heaven. So all you need to do to start this journey, and you have to complete it to the end in order to be saved, but you begin it now by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, so because he commands that we must be born again of the Spirit. So repeat this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I ask you to enter in and wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you have answered me, and I know I'm absolutely saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for absolutely saving my soul. And I thank and praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, now just continue reading the Bible, because your faith will grow every time you read the Bible. Now, Sharon, show them four different ways how they can receive a copy of tape number or CD number 200. That's audio tape. And to receive it free of charge with postage and handling taken care of.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, you've heard program 200. Tomorrow will be program number 201, and also it'll be part 99 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you. He's already blessed you richly today by using me as a vessel to bring his spiritual life through the Word of God to you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen.